Good afternoon. If you don't mind, I'm probably going to stay off the podium. I'd probably fall off the podium halfway through the presentation, so I might as well start on the ground. I'm going to ask you all a question to start with. How many of you all have ever uttered that prayer? You know, the last one you ever say when things are going really badly? You know, the one where you say, "Help me now, God." Raise your hand if you've ever said that one. "Help me now." Okay, we're gonna start this off like any good Aggie. We're going to start off with a story. I was practicing in Missouri for the first 3 years of my practice career. Got called out to pull a calf. Many of you have probably called the vet out to do this. It's always exciting. How many of y'all are from the Midwest or from Tornado Alley? Let's do that. Yeah. If you're from Tornado Alley, you know that way off in the distance when you see that black sky and the clouds starting to rise up really tall that you've got a problem coming. Well, I watched that build all the way out to the farm as I drove out there. When I got there, the farmer had been very, very nice. He had the cow caught. We're going to talk about that in a minute. He had her snubbed up to a metal fence. Now, we had that old Missouri mud there. I'm not offending any of the Show Me State people, but we had the Missouri mud up to about shin deep. When I showed up, it was a nightmare. The calf was halfway out, was bellowing, and was on its back. That's a very tough way to pull a calf. You can't pull down. You can't pull it up. It's coming out head first, legs first, but laying on its back. So we worked on this, and the longer I worked on it, the darker the sky got. And then it takes on that sort of green color. You know, that's when your mom used to tell you, "Hit the dirt, time to go." The farmer never moved. He never blinked an eye. We worked on it some more. I could hear the rain hitting the trees across that soybean field. You could start seeing the lightning. And y'all ever do that as a kid where you go, 1, 2, 3, try to figure out how far away the lightning is? So the thunder hits? Okay, well, it's coming closer. And you could start hearing the rain hit the barn halfway out in the field. Calf's not coming out. It's not coming out. So somewhere there, right as the first raindrop started pounding on me, I said that prayer. Now, y'all remember that prayer? "Help me now." As soon as I got that last word out of my mouth, you couldn't count because the lightning and the thunder hit at the same time. Now, if you use child technology, that means it's right on top of you. Next thing I remember, I couldn't hear anything. I had this unbelievable weight on my chest. And I sort of started thinking before I opened my eyes, so this is what it's like to be hit by lightning. Finally, I opened my eyes and realized the reason I couldn't hear anything is my head was below the mud. My ears were below the mud. I raised my head up enough just to peek, and the calf is sitting on my chest. The farmer is still standing over there next to his black baldy cow. So why do I go through this long story? I think it's only polite. Any of you all hear a loud noise? I uttered the same prayer before we started this speech. Let's get started. We're going to talk today. This is a talk we gave in San Antonio about when to call the vet. A lot of practices have what is a colloquial term for it would be a fire engine practice. For a while, that was a bad name to call practices. Still, most of us are fire engine practices. You call us, we come. That's sort of how it works. You have a problem, we show up. We're going to talk today about, one, fire engine practices, and then two, and the second time I get up here, we're going to bring up maybe a different idea. We're going to start, really, how many of y'all have a large animal veterinarian? Okay, good. We're getting in short supply. We're having trouble finding them. We're having trouble getting them to come out of school. They might go in wanting to work on cows. They come out wanting to work on dogs. So we're going to really start talking this afternoon about when not to call your vet. If the cow is not caught, don't call your vet. Okay? They see those green coveralls in that pickup truck, and we have cured more downer cows by just pulling in the parking lot. Okay, don't call if the cow is not caught. Now, these next ones are probably even more important because if you're going to drive a young associate away from your practice, let him get tied into a couple of these. If it's not legal, don't call us. You know, health paper problems, drug problems, taking the white hair off an Angus. Guys, don't call us. If it's illegal, the quickest way to get rid of your new veterinarian is to send them to the veterinary medical examiners in whatever capital your state has. If you have no intention of paying, don't call the vet. I'm just putting that up there for everybody. If you don't intend to pay them, you're going to drive your young veterinarian out of business really quick. So if you don't have any intention of paying, don't call us. The last one's a little tongue-in-cheek, but it happens a lot. If a cow is not yours, I do not want to castrate your neighbor's bull because it bred your heifers. Okay? If the cow is not yours, it's not your place for revenge. So let's not work on cattle that aren't ours. There's a few things we can do as producers before you even call us. Before you even call a veterinarian, there's a couple things you can do. One is establish a client-patient relationship. Get to know your veterinarian. Find a vet, work them into your program. It solves a lot of problems. I have clients who you can almost talk through a C-section on the phone. Okay? And then I have clients that wonder where the upper teeth, front teeth on their cow went. It helps us determine if it's really an emergency or not. You need that relationship. It allows us to know your experience, know your operation, plus gives you the benefit of getting prescriptions. Before you call us, use four of your five senses. I had somebody call me on this in San Antonio. Why don't you use the fifth sense? Actually, there's very little on that live cow I want you to taste. Okay? Now, sometimes, you know, inappropriately that happens. It just happens. But I don't want you out there doing that. Okay, on the four senses you can use, on sight, if it belongs on the inside of the cow and is on the outside of the cow, you need to give us a ring. Okay? If it belongs on the outside is on the inside, you need to give us a ring. And that would be things like T-posts or hunting arrows or bullets. Smell. If you can smell her from your pickup truck, I have a clinic in the other county you need to call. Okay? Use your sense of smell. It's important. Hearing. If you can hear that calf or that cow breathe, if you can hear bones clicking when they walk, you might want to give your vet a call. And touch. People got confused with this back home. Touch. If it's hot, if it's inflamed, if it's dry, if it has gas underneath it, if it's cold, use your sense of touch. Next thing before, again, I'm going back to it. Figure out which animal it really is. On 800 acres of mesquite, and you say it's the black cow. Doesn't work. Catcher and corraler. We're going to cover a few problems really quickly. We try to lump these together for our clients in body systems. And the first one, of course, that we always come across is reproduction. And the top of that would be calving. We tell our clients, our experienced clients, give it a two-hour rule. If you don't make progress in 2 hours, if she's starting to calve, you know what labor looks like, and she's not making progress, you need to give us a ring. Don't wait. We also put the 2+1 rule. If you got 2 feet and a head, go ahead and try to pull it. If you got 2 feet and a tail, get after it. If you've got 3 feet and a tail, stop. Okay? Some basic rules for our producers. Prolapses. Again, it depends on your experience. We want to know the type, how big it actually is, and how long has it been there. Those will amaze you how long they have been there. Cows can last a long time with a prolapse. One story related to a prolapse and not catching your cow. When I pulled up into the farmer's lot, got out of my truck, and the uterine prolapse and the cow took off across the field. About halfway across the field, she fell over dead, and I got to go home. So it is important to catch them. And I don't know what happened. Oh, here we go. Okay, you got 2 feet and a head. It's just your two-hour rule sort of went away on this cow. Prolapses. This is a lot more fun to do right before lunch. Get you ready to eat. We need to know what kind of prolapse it is. Is it something that can wait till morning? Is it something you can put in? In our neck of the woods, any problems with a bull's reproductive system needs to be seen right away. It is a timed event. It is not fun to have the rancher tell you it's been looking like that, Doc, for about 3 or 4 days, and it's really only had the prickly pear on it for a day. Okay? Anything with the penis or the scrotum, we need to see. Cows, anything with breeding accidents. We're seeing more mastitis now, and I don't know why. And any problems post-calving, metabolic problems, we need to see right away. Respiratory problems. We're going to ask you questions on the phone. Is it a cow or a calf? Is the temperature greater than 103? Ask us a question. Call us up. Right now, our phone calls are free. Okay? But we can save you a lot of time and a lot of money with some simple information. Foot rot. Foot rot's not, I had a professor that one time told me, foot rot is not foot rot is not foot rot. And he's right. I had a purebred herd of Hereford in my county getting ready for their sale. They developed foot rot in their sale bulls and lost 5 bulls to foot rot. That gets very expensive a month before your sale. Now, they cured their problem with management, not really with medicine. They just handled their bulls differently. The five M's of down cows. You guys might already know these. If it's musculoskeletal, metabolic, metritis, mastitis, and the one that's affecting a lot of our herds right now in Texas from about the middle of January to the middle of March is malnutrition. And it's not really a rancher's fault. We didn't have a good hay year. We didn't have a lot of rain. They're heavy bred, and there's not enough to eat. Next group is GI problems, bloat, diarrhea, losing cud, drooling. The last drooling cow I had died about 2 days later of rabies. So that's a big problem in our neck of the woods. But these things are points for you as producers to look at and say, I need to call the vet. There's a bloat. That was foot rot. Lumpy jaw, we've seen that in a herd situation. I'll jump straight to trauma. It's amazing the things that cows can do. I had a man come in one day. He had a coffee pot on the foot of his cow, and it had swelled up inside the coffee pot. We cut the coffee pot off. The next day, he brought me another cow with a Folgers can on it. I thought it was great, but he needed to clean up his dump is what he needed to do. Toxins. A lot of our big ranches were actually small farms at one time. They're still old houses, old barns the cows get into. I had a partner that went out and he used at that time a new injectable dewormer on about 200 head of cows. It was a great day, very hot in North Texas. When they were finished, they turned the cows out into a smaller trap and went on home. The next morning he gets a call to not only come out but to bring his lawyer. As he drove onto the ranch, he had to swerve to miss the cows. There were 35 of them dead. By the time he got there and they started working through it, what had happened is they had not watered the cows. They opened up the gate and the only water available was an old dipping vat, and it's full of arsenic. And arsenic killed every one of them. So he could send the lawyer home. If, as a producer, you have animals, multiple animals on your plate that have respiratory infections, abortions, dead cattle like the 30 that this man had, or skin problems, you need to call us. It's a bigger problem than you think. Anytime you start getting multiple signs, we start combining two of these systems together. Respiratory problems, GI problems combined, GI and lameness problems. You need to give us a ring. Anything that involves the government, state or federal, give us a call. Had a ag teacher, actually, in my county, forge health papers. You know, we give them away free to the FFA. That was sort of a dumb thing. Call us early. Any questions? We were going to have a conclusion at this point, but we're going to stretch that out and do it on the other side. Do y'all have questions? Anybody? What did they do to clear it up? They did about five different things. One thing is they went out and they were able to smooth up the traps where these bulls were at. They also made the bulls walk through lime every day, just powdered lime. They also redid the footing in the loafing sheds and by the water troughs and by the mineral feeders. They also rode the paddocks a lot more often. Anybody starting to limp was treated. Any other questions? Yes. Sure. Mastitis, that's an infected udder. Metritis, it's an infected uterus. Musculoskeletal, it's a broken leg. Metabolic would be grass tetany, milk fever. Okay, and then malnutrition. You bet. Yes, ma'am. No, ma'am. No, we don't recommend it on our cow-calf herds. We do recommend it with any show cattle where you've got constant daily exposure.
Even though it's not a dangerous human exposure.
Absolutely. I mean, we don't recommend it. Go ahead. I didn't hear the last part. We're going to talk about that. Actually, that's the second part of how to take your small animal vet and let him see the light. Yes, sir. It's not the bottom line. One of the bottom lines. Okay. I go across country and for the last year have spoken for Academy of Rural Veterinarians. And I go to vet schools and I talk to tons of vet students. They even invited me to Minnesota. It was in the winter, but I didn't take that personally. The number one complaint, the number one reason students don't choose food animal medicine really doesn't have anything to do with money. Not ours. We took a survey, and the number one reason is they're scared they don't understand rural people. Now, I'm not kidding, I'm not joking, because it floored us. I thought it was going to be money. They are afraid they don't know the price of corn. What kind of hay baler you use. Maybe not even the breed of cattle you have. Okay? Most of the students in vet schools today are not from a rural environment. They're not. The entering class in Minnesota, I think it was last year, was 100% female. That's another. It is a physically taxing job, and the difference in pay between a large animal vet and a small animal vet. Yeah, there's a good 40% difference, but it's a lifestyle. It's what do you want to do? Where do you want to live? Where do you want to raise your family? And that's how we present it to vet students. Okay, there's great jobs in Dallas, Fort Worth, in Nashville, Tennessee. There's great jobs for veterinarians. There's probably also really good jobs in Bowie, Texas, and maybe Murfreesboro or somewhere outside of the city limit. It depends on what you want. So to attract a vet, if you have a veterinarian, go home and tell him to join the Academy of Rural Vets. Yes, ma'am.
I have sort of a question and sort of a comment on something right now. I have a 16-year-old granddaughter who really wants to be a vet, and she thinks a large animal vet. She's been on the ranch a little bit, but she's really ready to be a girl. Our local veterinarians are husband and wife team, plus they have another partner who's a woman, and those two women are smaller and tougher than most women I've ever seen. They handle things wonderfully in our rural area. And they took her on as a volunteer at their
There, and the Academy has recognized this, and actually a lot of our focus now starts in the FFA at high school. And if you come to my clinic or a lot of the clinics in that part of Texas, you'll see students in there, volunteers, you'll see high school kids that are paid employees, you'll see college undergraduates and vet students. We start young, real young. Yes, sir. No, sir, I'm going to skip your question for right now because too many came to my mind. I'll visit with you afterwards. That's a good question. I never thought of that one. Anybody else?